Okay, let's get going. Thank you again. I want a recorded thank you to the Tolanskis for sponsoring the Shir and Shalom, both because it's appropriate to give proper Hakaras HaTov, and also because if it's recorded and this goes out to people, hopefully they too will be inclined and interested in sponsoring a future Shir, sponsoring a future Shalom. Mirtz Hashem. We're on the second Shir of Hilchos Borer. And last week, just a very, very brief, not even review, but just mention, spoke about the importance of Borer being Borer, even if we're separating good from good. We usually, and classically, and even in terms of terminology, we define Borer as a separation of good from bad, bad from good, depending on some of the other factors. The question is, what if there is no bad? If there's no bad, what if it's all good? What if we're talking about the example, one of the examples we were dealing with was what happens if you're dealing with gummy bears and chocolates and it's all good and it's all wonderful. I just happen to be in the mood for the next 30 seconds for gummy bears, and then afterwards I'll move on to chocolate. So is that going to be considered Borer or not? And broadly, very, very broadly, we said yes, that even if you separate good from good, the moment you make the selection, this is the way that we paskin, the moment that you make the selection, you have immediately defined one as good and one as bad. If in this moment I don't want chocolates because I want the gummy bears, even though later on in the afternoon I may well want to continue eating the chocolates, right now I remove them as solace. I remove them as refuse, waste, call it what you will, non-food, not what I'm interested in. It is the negative item here in this mixture. That's an act of Borer. Today or tonight, the question really is, so what do we consider to be a mixture in the first place? At what point do we say that this is a mixture such that it is primed for potential Borer? And at what point do we say that it's not really a mixture at all? These happen to be two items or two different species, varieties, minim, call them what you will, that are laying side by side or laying within close proximity to one another. But perhaps it's not actually a mixture such that I could say that Borer could even take place. What happens if you have a variety of items that are very close to one another, but maybe we wouldn't necessarily define them as a mixture, maybe yes, maybe no. So I actually wanted to do this a little bit differently tonight. I want to throw out sort of a handful of questions ahead of time, maybe some brief thoughts, some brief conversation, but hopefully by the end of looking through some of this material, we'll have a better sense of what we're talking about. But sort of at first blush, you have a stack of dishes. Stack of dishes. Dishes were washed on Friday afternoon without there really being enough time to actually put them away. And right now, what sits on the counter is, a drying or dried at this point stack of large plates and small plates, big plates, little plates, dishes, bowls, whatever, the saucers and salad plates, etc., etc. A mixture or not a mixture? Mixture or not a mixture? Non-mixture. Why non-mixture?
First of all, you don't really care what plate you're taking.
Okay, my wife.
Well, let's see you do.
I don't care. I don't care. I'll eat off of my hand. I'll eat off the floor.
The question is, what do you want to do with them? If you want to use them now and set them on the table so you're using it right away, it's different than if you want to go put them now away in the closet.
So I'm asking not so much about...
You're asking definition?
I'm asking definition of Ta'aroves, right. Not a definition of Borer. Granted, once you define something as a Ta'aroves and it really is a mixture, then there might be appropriate ways of dealing with it, and there might be inappropriate ways, mutter ways and usser ways of actually dealing with that mixture. I want to know in the first place, am I even looking at a mixture?
So plates, I think, not as much as like silverware. Silverware, everything is ting. Like, if you have a whole chunk of silver, it's like all tangled. You can't really identify each
more tangled.
Dimension.
They are intertwined like, to
and
a greater
blend
degree.
Into each other,
they
as
blend
to like,
into. Ah, so good. So you're talking about basically, if I had to give it a term, discernibility. That there is a greater measure of discernibility amongst different plates and dishes and the like, as opposed to silverware. Silverware, of course, it's a mixture, because once they're all thrown into that caddy in the dishwasher, once they're all they're all in a pile, let's say on the drying rack on the counter, it's very difficult to discern one from the other until they're separated. But even as I'm looking at a stack of dishes, I can tell within that stack that's a bowl and that's a plate and that's a serving plate and that's a teacup and that's a saucer and that's a salad plate, etc., etc. Okay, fair enough, maybe. This came up actually in the women's shear last week. You look in the you look in your in the den, I guess, or family room or basement or whatever, Shabbos afternoon, and it looks like that the house is suffering from some sort of terrible virus. And it and the house just like threw up all over itself, basically. there are toys everywhere. It's a colossal mess. Is that a tarot mess? Colossal mess of toys on the floor. There are, you know, like the pins from the bowling set, and there are dinosaurs of varying sizes and shapes and degrees, and and Jack. Does the Elam still play with Jacks? Is that a When I was a boy, we used to play with Jack. When I was growing up in the Lower East Side, it was the 20s. We used to play Jacks. I don't know if that's still popular or not. Kugelach. Yeah, the Israeli folk. Is that a tarobas? Is that a mixture? You have toys everywhere. And one want to go on record one way or the other?
You can say within 1 year.
This is really dangerous because we might like embarrass you, you know, in like a half hour from now. Let's see what happens.
You can say within one game where you have like lots of different, you like whatever game it is, like Risk or Monopoly.
Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride.
Cards are like mixed up in all the, you know, all the different colors are mixed up.
Oh, good.
Risk is like no game all the time though, because you're picking mamish pieces, like the horse and the mamish picking the different pieces.
Yeah, but what's that, Taro? That's also
more than like Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride is like it's just the trains. All the trains are the same.
What about when it's put away? When it's first put away?
Well, hopefully you put them like all the colors away.
Ideally, hopefully. And if not, or let's say it ends up on the floor. Or let's say, you know.
Is that a tarovas?
Clean laundry that you...
Good.
Even if it's on the same drawer, though, you want this drawer, that
drawer. Right, oh. Right. In a closet. By the way, we'll see that in a closet. What about a hand of cards? Is a hand of cards a tarovas? Hand of cards, tarovas. Certainly, I mean, it depends on which side you're looking at. But certainly if I'm looking at, you know, if I'm holding them the right way, I can very easily discern the difference between one card and the next. I can tell the difference between a king and a queen and a jack and a ten and a whatever. Or Uno, right? They're different colors and different numbers. So it's difficult because, and we'll get into this next week. Next week we're going to speak about the distinction between effectively you only have, let's put it this way. Is this a mixture?
No.
Definitely not, because they're all the same. So it's a fine line between saying that you know, everything is all the same and then saying that as soon as they're different, are they necessarily mixed? Are they necessarily mixed together? Are Uno cards effectively one min? I wouldn't think so, right? They all have, certainly within gameplay, they all have a different function. Every single card in a deck of 52 has a different function over the course of gameplay. If I'm holding them fanned out such that I can easily, readily discern one from the next, is that a tarobas? Not a mixture. huge nafkamina for many, whatever we're getting into, like the propriety and the frumkeit of playing cards and not playing cards in Shabbos, but just in terms of Lamates Melachos, many card games will necessitate Borer once you've defined that what I'm holding in my hands is actually...
You throw out a card you don't want.
Is that you do want it or is it that you don't want it? Is it that I want to get this out of my hand, or is it that I want to play it? Is it that I'm trying to get rid of cards? Is it that I'm trying to collect cards? Depending on the nature of the gameplay, it might or might not be
part of the game.
Problematic.
Like, I want to play.
I want to play it.
Crazy, like I want to play. Or even if I don't want to play this, even if I want to get rid of this card, but it's a function of playing the game.
Okay, right.
As opposed to like I'm not discarding.
But my objective is I want to divest myself of cards. That's the name of the game. So maybe it's all psolas. I don't know. But is it a tarovas in the first place? A tarovas in the first place? Stack of papers. Stack of papers, invariably, certainly after Yontif. You have 3 days of Yontif in a row, and there's and we do a shiur between Mincha Ma'ariv every night. By the end of Yontif, it's all like a colossal mess. And you think, listen, this is what happens. You know, you have a busy shul, and after 3 days of Yontif, but that's not what it is. Because at the end of Simchas Torah, you realize that, oh my goodness, I'm looking at my Shabbos Hagadol drasha in this in this stack, and this is the shiur that we had on Hanukkah, and this is like business halal. Handout from Parshas Chayesara, Tav Shin Nun Ches. That's also like slipped in here. Is that a Tarovas? Stack of papers. You fan through it, and again, it's very easily discernible. The way that it is right now, though, you can't necessarily readily pick out one from the other. Here's a big one. This is a potential game changer, not for the good, but probably for the bad, or for the more difficult, not for the less difficult. Is a vegetable bin in a refrigerator, is a veggie bin or a fruit bin a tarovas? What'd you say?
Yes.
You'd say yes.
Yeah.
You'd say yes.
Well, like a fruit drawer?
Fruit drawer, veggie drawer.
Well, like you open, you say, I want an apple. No.
Yeah, I want an apple. I want a... See, I think it's less of a question in the first place when it comes to, let's say, a fruit bowl. Just because the nature of it is that whatever you're pulling out, you're probably pulling out for now. Probably, not necessarily. But I'm thinking about, you pull out a tomato. You got a tomato next to a cucumber, next to a carrot, next to whatever, celery. And you pull out the tomato. Why do you pull out the tomato? Because you want to, let's assume this isn't tochein in the first place, but you want to have it for salad for lunch. So either I'm pulling it out before shul just to know that I chop it later, or even I chop it large enough pieces, it's not tochein, not a problem. But I'm doing it before shul for after shul. Is that an issue? Is that a problem? Is that a tarovas? Or do you say that, look, I look inside the drawer, it is so clearly discernible that that's a carrot and that's a tomato and that's a, it's like a Sesame Street segment. Like, which of these things doesn't belong? I mean, it's like sorting basic shapes and sizes, but they are all mixed together. Bottles of wine. I'll give you three different scenarios. And let's assume that you have different bottles of wine. Bottles of wine in the shelf, the shelf inside the door in the refrigerator. Bottles of wine lined up on a countertop. And bottles of wine still in the box.
On a countertop.
Comes with what? Comes with 12? It's 12? 12 in a box?
It's like a case of assorted wine.
Case of assorted wine. Yeah, you got it.
It's all the same wine, though.
Then it's all women, correct. Right. Case of assorted wine.
On the countertop, so what would make it though is like the proximity they are to each other. Like,
maybe.
Is there going to be like a containment? Like a...
Right, if you have to turn it to see the label.
That they're... Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it, right? Labels out, labels in. Labels out, labels in. How readily discerned are they from one another? Right, again, if we say that as long as you can discern one from the other... If you can say that as long as you can discern one from the other, then it's not really a tarovas, then it's a hand of cards tarovas, right? You're looking at labels. You're basically holding a hand of labels. That's what cards are, right? Each one is just marked or stamped with its own unique label. That's what makes the card the card. Okay, so all really important. The most critical source in this entire conversation is the Trumas Hadeshen and Simen Nun Zayin. This is quoted by many Achronim afterwards. Trumas Hadeshen was an important Ashkenazi posek in the 15th century, still the era of the Rishonim, and very important series of very practical issues on halacha. So this is a little bit of an excerpt, but let's take a look at the actual shaila. Sheila. Chatichos dagim munachim al luach o baka'ara. So let's say you have a number of different pieces of fish that are all resting on a luach, some sort of board, or on an actual dish like a serving platter. Mifurados zumizu, they're at some distance from one another, meaning each one occupies its own space. It's not like they're literally laying on top of one another. Difference between poached salmon and fried tilapia. By the way, each one being its own unique min, but meaning its own unique variety. When you pull a tray of poached, roasted, whatever, broiled salmon out of the it maintains its shape. Each one is kind of standing upright. I don't know, when I fry tilapia, it just gets all over, you know, it becomes like a stack of pancakes, basically. But they're mifurados zumizu. Each one is in its own spot. Sherigil lahaniach kach, that this is how we ordinarily serve it. Uveshabes kishaba lechol mehen rotze lechol. Sorry for the print here. When he wants to eat one of them, rotze lechol miktsasen l'shayer miktsasen, he wants to eat some of them and leave some of them. L'seuda acheres. So meaning to say, is that considered bar? Granted, even if it's a ta'aroves, if I'm taking one out for immediate use, I mean, there's no problem in the first place. Call it a ta'aroves. Don't call it a ta'aroves. It is a mixture. It's not a mixture. If I'm pulling out a piece to eat right now, makes no difference. But let's say I want to sort them. I want to sort them for this is what we're going to eat Friday night and this is what we're going to eat tomorrow. Without paying attention to specifically pulling now those items that I want to eat now, but I'm just sorting them generally. Miktasim l'suda acheres, some for a different suda. Heach yivror, elu me'elu shal yavo lidei chiyuv borer. So what do you have to do? Do you have to do anything? Effectively, is this considered to be a ta'aroves in the first place? So, skipping a little bit down into the kishkas of this tshuva, and the Truma Sedeshin says as follows: Amnam nireh, it would seem dema'od haya keneged svaras halev. This would seem to be really, how do you define keneged svaras halev? Counterintuitive. It would be really counterintuitive. Dishnei minim shenikarim behafradasam, that are clearly recognized, not recognizable in terms of their distinction from one another. These are two different meat. You have the sole and tilapia on the same plate, and they're at enough of a distance from one another that it's not one big like chelent or fish that are all interconnected, lying on top of one another. Chatichos gedolos, they're large enough, sizable enough pieces, shemunachim yachad, that are all lying together. Dehei breira shayachabahu, to say that you could even say that breira would apply to these things. They're all so large, they're all so discernible, each one is independently recognizable of the other. Hard to say, hard to imagine, says the Truma Sedeshin, that we would consider this to be an act of brera to separate and to sort them. The Lashon of Mordechai Paraklal Gadol, lo mashmahachi, it doesn't seem that this is what the Mordechai is talking about when he defines what Borer really is. Lo mashmahachi de Kasav, maybe it's the Kasav, it might be a little chip-chick up there, hard to tell, yeah. The Kasav, Hilkach, Yizahir, Adamishnei, Mine, Peros. You have to be careful when it comes to two different varieties of fruits, vegetables, produce, and is arvu, chule, that are mixed up together with one another. Mashma, it seems that Davka, Kishahim, Me'uravim, only if they're really mixed together. Meaning, if you're talking about, let's say apples and oranges. If you're saying that they're all mixed up in the same fruit bowl, I understand. If they're all lined up, on a platter together and each one is easily discernible from the next, then I don't know. It's specifically when they're me'uravim, the einam nikarim, and you can't recognize one from the other. But in this kind of case, afal gav de in kol min umin mesudr b'fnei atzmo, granted, it's not as though, like this side of the plate, sole. This side of the plate, tilapia. It's not that. I get it. It's not that. It's that you have one piece here and one piece here and one piece there. And they're sort of, they're intermingled. But I don't know that they're really mixed, says the Truma Sedeshin. The Ein Kol Min V'Min Mesudr B'Fnei Atzmo. Granted, it's not that each one is completely separate all on its own. Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Lo Mikre Me'urav. It's not considered to be mixed. Efes, Hawil, the Kasav, Bismag, the Haborer, Psolas, Mitocha, Ochel. Nevertheless, since the Smag writes that if a person were to separate Psolas from Ochel, Vafilu, Borer, La'alter, even if you do it immediately, Chayav, Chatas, it is an Isser de Oraisa, you'd be Chayav, a carbon. This is very, very serious business. Ein Lechalek, Ulahakel, below Briya, Berura, Velo, Lahatir, Ela, Sheikach, Mishnei, Aminim. Etc., etc. He says, without a raya berura, without a clear proof, either clear precedent, or unless it can be determined absolutely that it's not a ta'aroves, burden of proof falls on saying that it's a mixture. Be careful. Effectively, halacha lemaisa, what the Truma Sedeshin is saying is that if you have that kind of scenario, you have...
Is it moving one fish against the other fish?
moving one fish to get to the other fish could be. He's, I mean, he's talking about like sorting them. Meaning, again, if this is brought to the table and I'm trying to pull one off for the sake of the other, for the sake of just eating it right now, so call it a tyroves, call it not a tyroves. What difference does it make, right? You're even right. If it is a tyroves, you're allowed to do that. Question is, let's say I want to sort them. Let's say I want to say,
you want to save like
that kind
of
thing. I want to save some for lunch. I want to save some for another zoo that have some now, have some later. I want to sort them out. Two different types of fish, two different types of meat. I don't know. Yeah, deli platter, right? So you have slices of turkey and slices of corned beef, right? Whether deli or, you know, thicker chunks, you know, Hamish style, whatever. And they're on the same platter. And it's not like this side is deli or this side is turkey, sorry, and this side is corned beef. It's that they're scattered around, but they're so large and they're different colors and they're so easily distinguishable. Does that make a difference? Chuma Sadeshin says it probably does, but you can't do it. It probably makes a difference, but you're really playing with fire. Don't take that chance. Which really ups the ante with respect to just how sensitive we need to be to assuming that something really is a tyroves until absolutely proven otherwise. Again, the lashon is that unless you have aim lechalik lahakil below raya berura. Unless it's absolutely clear, clear proof, clear precedent, no doubt in your mind, you really got to be very, very careful when it comes to this sort of thing. So that's item number one. By the way,
is that talking about even when you're taking the good from the bad?
When you're taking good from the bad, it's still a tyroves. Meaning, if I'm taking good from the bad, la'alter.
The same as taking the good from the bad Taking good from bad without the other conditions, right, of miyad.
Like if I take good from bad for tomorrow, is that just as bad as taking...
Just as bad as every other variation of Bor?
I believe so. I believe so. Because effectively, meaning is one a Darais and one is a Darabanan, I believe that without all three of those factors, effectively, I think that's what I think the Chavetz Chaim said, so Mishnah Berurah said, so the Farish, that effectively, the saving grace is Derech Achila. And to make it derech achila is what will make it not the melechus machshavas of borer. And the way that I make it derech achila is by ensuring that I have all three. If I don't have all three, then it's not derech achila. It's not just an act of eating, and it really is an act of melacha.
If a kid's
it's two steps. Sorry. No. First, you have to have the tarobis.
Right. Then you have to know how to deal with it.
Then you're allowed to do borer if you do it with these three
the right
steps.
Way. If you do it as an act of
it's
eating,
it's still borer, achila. But it's permitted borer.
Yeah, I mean, that's semantics. You know, call it what you will. It's not the malacha of borer. It's considered to be eating. Even if you're not eating. Even if they're socks, right? Even if they're socks. Let's assume that my sock drawer is really a tyroves, which I would assume at this point, right? After the Trumas Hadeshen, I would assume that it's a tyroves, right? Assuming they're considered
they're
to be different.
Then, like, if you actually fold your socks and they're connected.
Please. Let's say. No, I'm with you. I have a creative imagination.
If they're paired.
Right.
If they're paired and you're pulling out a pair in the morning,
right.
You're
right.
Not really like borer.
It's not borer because it's...
You're taking...
Because it's derech achila. I just want to... I know that sounds ridiculous, but because it's derech achila, meaning anything that falls within the parameters of the way that one would eat, even if hopefully you're not eating your socks, is still not considered to be... Borer, but it's a tyroves.
If I look for a pair of black socks and I have a mixture of black and blue and tan and brown, and no, they're pairs, but
they're
I'm looking for a pair of black socks and I take out, oh, no, that's blue. And brown. Until I get to the
that's mutter.
One, that's a problem.
That's mutter, actually.
Oh, that?
Yeah. That's mutter, because that's not...
I think that was your...
Yeah, that's actually not there. I actually just saw it I have another one. Not that I actually.
That you actually sorted.
Not that I actually quoted.
We'll get
there when we talk about Sfarim. When we talk about Sfarim, we'll get there.
Would that be the same if it was a laundry basket of clean socks all mixed together? Same thing, right?
Same deal. Laundry basket of clean socks. Let's assume it's a tyroves. Right. Right. Each one is considered to be its own. Effectively, each one is considered to be its own min. The fact that they are a different color is significant enough when it comes to socks. We'll discuss this a little bit more, and we'll get back to Shimon's OCD habit of eating M&M's the way that he does. But but in next week, Mirtzah Shem, we'll talk about how exactly do you define whether you're dealing with one min versus multiple minim. Are you dealing with one variety or multiple varieties?
Wait, you're saying it's mutter because it's not a mixture?
No. I'm saying let's assume that it's a mixture.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It is a mixture because the fact that the socks are of different color gives them decidedly different purpose. And therefore, it's a mixture. You have multiple varieties, and they're all stuck together. Now, before the Truma Sedeshen, right? If I was still stuck on this, on the first, you know, four lines of the Truma Sedeshen, where he says it's really counterintuitive to say that this is a tarobes, because you look inside the drawer and you see blue, black, gray, black with stripes, gray with stripes, blue with stars, whatever. Then I hear that. Maybe it's not a tarobes at all. But he says no, it really is. And by the way, in this case, even more so, that actually sounds more like the Mordechai that he's quoting, where he's talking about Peris Uravim, that they're actually all together in a bowl and all mixed up, as opposed to the fish, where like each one kind of has its own neat little space. If you're like a little bit more OCD than I am, and instead of, let's say, all the socks and balls being together in the sock drawer all at the same time, instead they're kind of like neatly lined up, but you got like balls of socks all next to one another, what the Truma Sedeshen would tell you is that that's probably still a Tyrovis. That's still a Tyrovis. But I pull out a ball of socks, you know, a pair of socks to wear in the morning, so I have appropriately separated from that Tyrovis. But it is a Tyrovis. What difference does it make? Difference that it makes is if on Friday night I don't want to even, you know, open up the drawer because I'm afraid that I might wake up my wife. So let me open it up on Friday night in order to grab that pair of socks the night before for Shabbos morning. That would be a problem. Once you say it's a tarovas, so you can take out the ochel from the psoles, but that's not miyad anymore. That's not for immediate use. That's a problem. That's really an act of boros. This has sweeping ramifications. Meaning this greatly expands the parameters of what we would ordinarily consider to be a tarovas. Okay, the recording from the actual shiur got cut off for some reason at this point, so I'm just going to finish up, try to summarize some of the other points that were mentioned over the course of the shiur for the purpose of anybody trying to do review or anybody even listening to for the first time. Try to make it as understandable as possible, even without actually hearing all of the back and forth and all the conversation. So two other important sources that we looked at beyond the Truma Sedeshen. The first of which is a footnote in Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, very important work on Hilchos Shabbos written by Rav Yehoshua Neuwirth. And Rav Neuwirth often quotes from his Rebbe, who is the premier posek of Eretz Yisrael at the time, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And in this particular footnote, this is in Chelek Aleph, Perek Gimel, which deals with Hilchos Borer, and this is Ha'ara Kuf Tzadi Zayin, in which he quotes actually a back and forth that Rav Shlomo Zalman had himself with respect to Borer and what is really considered to be a mixture in the first place. The subject is a shelf full of Svarim, and it reads as follows, Vishamati Mehagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlita, which would now be Zatzal, following his passing. Shehaborer b'leil Shabbos chumish b'shvil kriyas haTorah shel yom hamacharas. He's talking about selecting a chumish off the shelf of other svarim to be able to have available for kriyas haTorah the next day, whether this is taking place in shul or in a person's home. Sheish lachshosh b'zeh. We have to be concerned. Mishum iser borer. Maybe this is a violation of the prohibition of borer. Afilu k'shelamachar e efshar l'livror. Even if tomorrow he'll be stuck without a chumish, nevertheless, kagon b'makdim la'kum ba'od chashecha. Let's say we're talking about a person home. And when he gets up early in the morning, it's too dark, he doesn't have any lights on in that particular room, and it's going to be impossible for him to select that chumash from this shelf. Or let's say he has guests sleeping in the room in which these svarim reside, and he's not going to be able to go in the morning. Now is his opportunity. Before they go to sleep, the night before on Friday night, he'll be able to go in and select the sefer that he needs the next morning. But then afterwards, so we're Shlomo Zalman first says, you know, you have to be concerned here about Boer, effectively saying that even though the Svarim might be neatly lined up on a shelf, not unlike what we might presume after seeing this Trumas HaDeshen, that even if you have items that are kind of neatly lined up, like the different pieces of fish, nevertheless, it might yet be a Ta'aroves because they're all right next to one another, and each Sefer obviously is fundamentally different from the one that it's next to. So that's what Rav Neuvert hears, says that he heard initially from Rav Shlomo Zalman, but then, Virak Lacharze, afterwards I heard that Chazar Va'omer Hagoin Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, that really Rav Shlomo Zalman retracted. Shaladaito, that actually his new opinion was as follows. Efshar She'en Bazeis or Borer, that maybe there's really no problem with Borer here whatsoever. Em Hasfarim Omdin Ba'aron Lefi Seder Mesuyam, if really they're sitting on the bookshelf or in the bookcase according to a particular Seder, according to a particular arrangement, Va'afshu Yadu Rak Lebaleihem, even though the casual observer might not be able to ascertain what that Seder is, in what way they're arranged. But nevertheless, the owner of the Svarim knows how they're arranged. Mikol makom enam chashuvim lemu'uravim. Maybe they're not really considered to be mixed. The Efshon, it's also possible. Shagamim enam sudarim ba'arim lefi Seder. Even if there's no Seder whatsoever, even if they're just stuck back on the shelf. Mikol makom nevertheless kol she'enam munachim ba'arim azel gavzeh, as long as they're not stacked up in a pile, meaning arranged in that manner, meaning arranged lying down and then stacked vertically, but rather that each one is vertical and standing on the shelf, each one next to the other. Lo chashiv ma'urav, that's not really considered to be a ta'aroves, that's not a mixture. Ki ikar ha'madasam ba'aron ha'sarim hu'pnei she'kol sefer hu'davar chashiv la'atzmo ulim komo. The reason why you put them on the shelf, and what putting them on the shelf effectively suggests is that each one is chashiv on its own, each one has its own place, each one has its own location up on the shelf. That's how you put them away, that's how they are properly arranged. Why does he put them all next to one another? Because he has so many of them, so you need to try to maximize all the space that he has on that shelf. That's not really a mixture. Gam ein is harim lahotzi lifnei hatfila sefer min haaron, and this is why Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that you see people really doing this all the time. Person goes to a shul and it's before tefila. Aside from picking out, let's say, you know, the siddur that's arranged with all the other similar siddurim, and aside from picking out, let's say, the chumash that's arranged with all the other similar chumashim, so that neither one really is part of a ta'aroves, part of a mixture. But what happens is that you also maybe pull another sefer off the shelf, al menas lomod bo bebeis hakneses acharei hatfila. Why do you do that? In order to learn after shul from that sefer. What effectively then is happening is that a person has made a selection, granted, of good from bad, of ochel mitoch psoles, selecting the sefer that he does want from amongst those that he does not, and similarly, he is doing so biyad, he's doing so by hand, but nevertheless, it's not miyad, it's not for immediate use. He's not planning on using it until after shul entirely, or even if it's only, at Kriyas HaTorah, between the Aliyos, that's when he's going to use that sefer. That's really not for immediate use. That would be problematic, unless we say that fundamentally, in the first place, this is really not a ta'aroves, it's really not a mixture. So that's a very important place in which Rav Shlomo Zalman lands to say that the Sfarim on the shelf really do not constitute an actual ta'aroves. If we had the Trumas HaDeshen alone, then we might suggest that indeed they should be, because after all, despite the fact that each one is able to be isolated and each one is clearly distinct, they're large enough to be clearly distinct, and they're labeled even, so that each one is distinct from the next. But nevertheless, maybe that alone isn't sufficient to say that it's not a ta'aroves. But what Rav Shlomo Zalman introduces us to is the reality that if this is the way in which they are actually arranged, then and properly arranged, and everything is put away, and each one occupies, each one is its chashuv, and it occupies its own proper space, then that would not be considered a ta'aroves, at least not when it comes to Svarim. So a very important source that helps to, and psak that helps to some degree, militate against the parameters or what we would expect to be the ramifications on Hilchos Borer from this Trumas HaDeshen. Final thought here, and the final source is a footnote actually found in the Sefer Orchos Shabbos, in which they quote a psak from Rav Nissim Karelitz, who just passed away. Rav Nissim Karelitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, a very important posek in Eretz Yisrael. So what we deal with here is is the following scenario. What happens if, let's say, you have a if you have a spoon that you know, that drops into a serving dish of chalent or something like that? So that potentially creates a ta'aroves. What Rav Nissim Karelis makes mention of, though, is that if there's a little bit of that spoon that still pokes out from beneath the chalent, so we might say that that's really no longer considered a tarovus. And as long as it's somewhat recognizable as being somewhat distinct from the food that it fell into, it wouldn't really be considered a mixture anymore. Now, that's really rather shocking, because according to the Truma Sedeshin, you have whole large pieces of fish that are next to one another but aren't even touching, is a tarovus. And yet here, the spoon inside of the chalent, just because it's peeking out just a little bit, would not be considered a tarovus. So Rav Nissim Karelis explains that to some degree, we have to take stock of the way that we actually view it, and the way that it sort of that our eyes land upon this mixture or alleged mixture. And the language, at least, that's brought in the Sefer Orchos Shabbos is that lachein ein ha'ayin roeh osam kimi'uravim, that the eye doesn't view these items as really being mixed, ela kasher heim mi'uravim u'mechusim mamish zebazeh, unless they're completely covered over. So there is some measure of subjectivity here when it comes to not only the different people who might be sitting around the table, that less so, whether you don't take a poll as to who views this as being mixed and who doesn't. But meaning to say that there is a difference between the average person would look at a platter of fish with interspersed pieces of fish, even of two different varieties, even though they might be clearly distinct and recognizable, discernible one from the other, as opposed to a serving spoon or a tablespoon stuck in the middle of a bowl of chalent. It looks like it's so the two items here, the two elements here, so do not belong with one another that we don't even take it in. We don't even view it as a mixture to begin with, which is really a very, very important point and an important consideration. I would just mention, though, that we should be very mindful of the actual cautionary note that the Truma Sedeshin himself offers, that is, without a raya brura, without it being absolutely crystal clear that two items near one another are not a tarovis, we need to presume that it is a mixture, that it is a tarovis, and then proceed accordingly. It doesn't mean that there's no way to separate, doesn't mean that there's no way to sort, but it means that we have to abide by the three criteria, as we always do, of miyad, biyad, and ochel mitoch psoles. One other interesting point here, in terms of defining what a tarovis is the question of a situational tarovis. And I actually saw this brought towards the end of Rabbi Eider's, Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, in which he has a whole page of very short little tshuvas that were sent to him from Rav Moshe Feinstein, his Rebbe, regarding Hilchos Boreh specifically. And Rav Eider poses a question about pulling Svarim off a shelf. What happens if these Svarim are not really discernible in any very clear way? Why? Not because necessarily they aren't labeled, but he says, what if the room is very dark? And if it's dark and you really can't tell one sefer from the next in any which way, then it would become a tarovis. And how would you go about pulling a sefer off the shelf in that instance? What should you actually do? How do you select the one that you want? So the question is actually more interesting to some degree than the answer. If Moshe doesn't address that particular point in any which way, or doesn't at least argue with that point in any which way, and it sounds like he would agree with Rabbi Eider's assessment that there is such a thing as what I'll call a situational sort of ta'aroves, that because the lights are off and because you can't see, even though inherently, of course, one sefer is easily discernible from the next, nevertheless, because you cannot do so right now because it's dark in the room, that would indeed pose an issue of a ta'aroves. Okay, so a lot to think about with respect to how we actually define a mixture, what takes place, what we're supposed to do, what the considerations are. And Amir Tzoshem, next week we will get into questions of how we determine if we're looking at one min, one variety, which cannot possibly pose an issue of really being a mixture, as opposed to are we actually looking at two separate minim, two or more separate minim, two or more separate varieties that are indeed mixed with one another.